For Alexander Kim, Gordon Caddick, Josh GD, I'm Sam Fenn. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know.
Okay.
You got any jokes?
No.
You got jokes?
No.
No jokes?
I don't have any jokes.
Neither. All right.
Okay. All right.
Hey, this is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada. Where's that?
I am a shrubber. My name is Roger the Shrubber. I arrange, design, and sell shrubberies.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio, and I'm your host, Austin. I'm broadcasting live from the unceded Musqueam Coast Salish territory on the University of British Columbia. Today we have a special show. It's going to be a pretty wild one. I will be joined by a few guests here, Katie and Max, who will be talking about their recent road trip across the kind of southwestern United States and a little bit into Mexico. Be talking to them about kind of this interesting time that we live in post-Trump. Well, I mean, during Trump, I guess. And kind of like change, inspiring change, I guess, is kind of the topic. But we'll see that about in a bit. At about the half hour, it is 9:06 right now, and in Vancouver, it is looking like it's going to be a pretty cloudy day. It's going to be mostly cloudy, about some showers with wind becoming about 30 kilometers an hour. Afternoon, gusting up to near 80 near the Strait of Georgia. The high is about 11 degrees. Tonight, we're going to see some showers, pretty windy. Again, a low about a 7. Tomorrow, through the weekend, it's going to be a little bit of rain and showers, some cloudiness. We're going to look around, hover around a high of a 10, 11 through the weekend, so... Gonna be a pretty rainy one. Yeah. Maybe put some wrenches in some plans, maybe not. Maybe everyone's looking forward to the weekend of rain. Who knows? We've had a lot of it the last couple weeks, so yeah, I'm looking forward to the sun and summer. But yeah. Wise Men Radio, we typically talk about issues in environmental science, kind of that region of issues. Yeah, and there's a lot of interesting things happening, especially now, kind of this day and age. We're starting to see a lot of movement towards more responsible management, just being a responsible steward of the land and what that means. Lots of more definition has been implemented, So yeah, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time to do this show. But yeah, if you like this show, and you want to keep hearing it, you can listen to more of me speak and, on CITR.ca. And you'll find, you can search there, Wise Men Radio. We have a bunch of podcasts, and a lot of them are good. Some of them are iffy, you know? So you gotta sift through them a bit. Some cool stuff. Always some cool guests. Play some cool tunes. But yeah, I've had this show for about 3 years now. And it's coming to the time where my show is going to be coming to a close here relatively soon in the next month. Still not exactly sure on the date of the final show, but sometime in April is probably going to be the goodbye Wise Men show. I'm trying to get as many people on air as I can, fit as many people as I can in this room, and we can just talk about conservation, chat about science, whatever you want, really. It's a pretty open book. But if you're interested in joining me, you can like Wise Men Radio on Facebook. Just search Wise Men with a Z or a Z, and I should pop up there. Yeah. But yeah. Anyways, enough with the formalities. On to the real juicy stuff. Yesterday I attended this is the first time I attended one of these, but I know they Patagonia has these often. Patagonia Vancouver has often these screenings of movies or talks about some sort of environmental issue. This is the first time I've been. This talk was about a place in the Northwest Territories, kind of southwest Northwest Territories. That makes sense. On the border of the Yukon and the Northwest Territories. It is called the Nahini National Park Reserve. And there's basically, it's a pretty expansive park of these pretty insane mountains. I think it was claimed, I know a lot of these places kind of have these claims, like, the tallest this from, you know, the Pacific to the Rock, or the Atlantic, you know, something like that. But yeah, I guess it has like the most glacial ice between the Coast Mountains and Labrador. So they're actually pretty insane peaks, and pretty vast, kind of wild out there. But basically, we were looking at this guy came and talked a bit about, he leads a bunch of expeditions out there, and whether it's like whitewater rafting, canoeing, climbing, hiking, mountaineering, whatever the event is, he'll guide you up there. And we're talking about kind of his trips mainly. There was a representative from CPAWS there. And CPAWS is kind of this organization that helps plan and tries to protect wildlands. And and CPAWS does a lot of work in the ocean and on land, which I've stressed in previous shows that how important protecting ocean areas is, and how we're kind of seeing a shift towards more of this, especially with Canada's new legislation claiming that they want 10% of the ocean of their coastline protected. And so CEPAWS has been actually pretty successful in doing a lot of that, planning for ocean protection, which is kind of cool to see. I forget what the most recent addition was. They're looking in the future for a bit of land in the northern Vancouver Island, or bit of ocean in northern Vancouver Island, protect. But they're not sure of the outcome of the legislation, whether it's going to be like kind of a strict protection or pretty lenient on the activities in these waters. And the most recent, just a couple weeks ago, the most recent thing that they, CEPAWS kind of put forward was the protection of the Heckett Strait. And the Heckett Strait is the body of water that sits between Haida Gwaii and the mainland. It's pretty perilous water to travel in. And it's pretty shallow because up until the very last ice age, there actually was a land bridge between Haida Gwaii and the mainland. And this was relatively recently where this kind of channel or the strait filled in with water. So it's pretty shallow, pretty unique within like ocean biodiversity. It's home to glass sponges, which are sponges that are really delicate and super rare. They were thought to be extinct until recently discovered again in the Heckett Strait. They're really cool organisms. Just get on that Google machine and look up glass sponges. They're pretty incredible to look at. They're basically made out of glass, very fragile, and so a lot of fishing activities were pretty devastating to the glass sponge reefs, so now that they implemented that, hopefully a stop to the fishing, bottom trawling, and just kind of these big commercial ventures of that would affect these glass sponges would be better monitored or cease to exist where the glass sponges are, I guess. But yeah, the CEPAWS representative, he was a pretty interesting speaker. I felt, as much as I like conservation and I like protected areas, I thought I didn't really agree with much of what this man was saying. There was a big, I'm not totally briefed on the issue behind the national park proposal in the Okanagan, but from my knowledge, there's a national park being proposed in the Okanagan, and CEPAWS is kind of behind the movement to get this passed. But a lot of the local community is saying no, we don't want this national park, and it seems with a lot of push for this national park is because I've heard a lot of reasons for this national park, and a lot of it says that a big reason that they want this national park is because of that there isn't very many national parks around in the area, and they just need one there to basically protect this kind of ecosystem. And it perhaps wouldn't be the best design for biodiversity. But this all goes back to kind of this, everything in conservation and management all kind of loops back into the idea of what is your goals? What are you trying to achieve with this new national park? Is it actually biodiversity, or is it something like beta diversity, which is like kind of the difference, different diversity within the landscape? Are you trying to manage for that? Are you trying to manage for different ecosystem types, ecosystem functions? It just all depends on your objectives and your goals. And I don't think that the goals necessarily for this project are completely understood between all the parties. And maybe if it was, then we would see a bigger agreement one way or the other. And but yeah, basically it also, what this guy was saying is kind of, I didn't think it was necessarily correct, because a lot of our ideas of conservation and protecting lands are this kind of very imposing ideas. It's very easy to sit in Vancouver and say, oh yeah, this big plot of land in, you know, northern BC, we need to protect it, when the local communities don't really want that. I think we have to respond to what the people want in these communities surrounding the area in order to properly plan and protect these areas. Yeah. It's pretty, it's a very tricky subject, I think. And I'm not totally sure if that guy knew, like, kind of understood that. He did say, he did talk about how they try to get the local communities involved. They want these processes to happen within the local communities. But, for example, with the Okanagan Park, I don't think that was this is a very responsible way in managing it. If the people don't want it, then the people don't want it. The local community doesn't want it. But of course, we are seeing a change, and times are always changing. So who knows? But anyways, I rambled on there for a bit. I'm going to play some songs. This first song I'm going to play is, I played them before, Homeshake. It's pretty cool, like kind of hip hop, groovy beats. This song is called Getting Down Part 2. He's cooling down off of Homeshake's new album, Fresh Air, that came out in February. I'll be back in a few, but until then, stay breezy. Oh,
my home. Baby, it's a solid price. It comes with my bones. Squawk their mouths, they said we'll build a wall to keep them out. Now the poets were dying of a silence disease, so it happened quickly and with much ease. Well, you can take my life, but don't take my home. Baby, it's a solid price. It comes with my bones. I may never see you again. I may never see.
Caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit CITR.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
Hello, welcome, 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 everyone. We're back here at CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I'm your host, Austin, and I am joined here now with Anna Lerney.
Good morning.
Good morning, Anna. Thanks for being on the show. So we'd talked a little bit about planning. It's not very much different than what I talk about most times here on Wise Men Radio, but like conservation planning and I mentioned a little bit about CPAWS, the organization that tries to create these and plan for these conservation areas and like a lot of these national parks and stuff like that. And we touched on the issue of the national park proposal in the Okanagan. A lot of questions last night also did revolve around the Great Bear Rainforest and whether you would consider that a conservation success or what? What you would consider it, I guess. Would you consider the Great Bear Rainforest and kind of what's been happening in the Great Bear Rainforest a success?
Yeah, I think overall, definitely. It's also, it's really kind of the first, like, area set aside for conservation this huge that's ever really been done before, and with such, like, multi-use objectives. And as well, it was done in consultation with the First Nations communities who are in the area, to an extent that is pretty remarkable for an area so huge and such a huge management plan. I mean, it's so many nations that have come together and with the government on a government-to-government basis to establish this area. So I think that part is really cool. That makes it quite successful. Also, the way that they've been able to set aside so much old-growth forest, 70% of old-growth forest is set aside, it's a neat thing. It's a good thing to do in the area. There was quite a bit of community support from First Nations communities as well, for the most part. However, I think it becomes a little bit problematic in the sense that as much as, I guess, the provincial government built it as a government-to-government co-management agreement with First Nations, it still is very skewed in favor of the provincial government deciding all the rules and kind of all the terms by which First Nations will agree to the government-to-government co-management agreement. So it is, I don't know. I think the problematic areas arise mostly from that kind of sense. But as you were saying, like with national parks earlier, that it seems so often that they're really intended to like keep people out and protect one area, and it's for maybe minimal recreation, but mostly just protected area. The Great Bear Rainforest is neat because, I mean, it's still a working forest. Like, there's still harvesting allowed there, still forestry operations going on. There are a range of different forest tenures that are sustainably arranged, but still keep the forest, able to be.
Exactly. Used. Yeah. I think that's a really important takeaway from this show in general, most of my shows, is that a forest such as the Great Bear Rainforest can still be a beautiful forest and still serve all of these functions with logging and forestry practices going on within them. As long as they're done responsibly, and I think that's what a lot of people have these misconceptions about forestry is that, I mean, one, we do need to get like lumber from somewhere, and I think people need to kind of realize that there needs to be this industry. And two, that logging operations and even small scale operations have been happening, you know, as a part of the ecosystem. First Nations groups were doing forms of logging, selective harvest, and these things can be okay if done in the right way. And I think that's a lot of misconception about the industry is like, yeah, not all forestry is bad. You can have logging and still be a fine place. Yeah. And it kind of brings me to, yeah, like last night, I think the CPAWS guy who was kind of the guy who's in charge of planning a lot of parks in the British Columbia area, he was kind of trying to fearmonger for this, look at these, you know, they totally would devastate, you know, the logging operations are devastating the forests. And this is totally, it's totally not, I mean, it's true in some sorts, but it, like, logging's not always bad, and I thought that was a pretty cringy moment where he was just kind of ripping on logging.
Yeah, I think the power of comparison is also very strong there. Like, it's so easy to look at clear cuts, especially. I mean, they do look really, like, dramatically devastating, and like in to some extent, sometimes they are. But when you look at things like the Georgia Basin, we just learned about it like pretty extensively in a class. So the area of the Gulf Islands and around Victoria, no logging's going on there. But there is urbanization that's like creeping further and further and further out from Victoria. And it's a really sensitive ecosystem. And just simply like building houses and paving roads there is causing so much destruction to this like very small and very sensitive, very particular ecosystem in the Georgia Basin. And so that like it's harder to see the immediate effect and the immediate impact that things like that have because it looks a lot less devastating than a huge clear cut. Whereas in reality, that's like, I mean, probably worse in terms of the scope of like the species it's affecting and like the long lasting effect it'll have in the area.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's harder to reclaim for a forest to reclaim a urban area than a clear cut. Yeah. That's for sure. And I think, another really pretty cringy moment last night was was when the guy was he was talking about forestry again, how we keep logging in these old growth forests, and why we can't be logging these second and third growth, you know, forests. Like, if we're not why aren't we logging these second growth forests? And the answer is pretty straightforward. I mean, it's a lot of these forests aren't old enough yet,
but also we are logging
forests. it is pretty I just thought it was really cringy, and like, I don't know, before you really like, I think, try to make a big fuss about something like this, I think people need to like look at the issues. I think on both sides, look at the thing in the whole picture, you know. I think that's that's really important. But anyways, back to the Great Bear Rainforest. this is a classic kind of digression. But yeah, back to the Great Bear Rainforest. It's been a pretty interesting process. It's been a really long process. I think it's like 12 years it is in the making, whatnot. Why do you think it took so long to make a this area protected like this?
I think because it's so huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it encompasses, like, it's, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, maybe it encompasses all the way from the Alaskan border to the northern tip of Vancouver Island. So pretty much the entire central and northern coast of BC. And it's broken into like three distinct areas as well that were their own management areas before they were kind of united under this title of Great Bear Rainforest. Mm-hmm. I think it moved pretty quickly for something that huge. And I think a huge part of that is because of the name Great Bear Rainforest that has this huge emotive power for the public. Whereas you might not identify with the name North Coast, Central Coast, and South Central Coast land use management areas or whatever.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to identify with the Great Bear Rainforest. And I think the species, the Kermode bear, which is the white phase mutation of the black bear, being the face of this whole project really got people moving behind it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it moved pretty quickly for such a huge area. When you look at, like, I mean, this guy with the Okanagan Park, like, that's something that he's been working on for and pushing for years, say.
Yeah.
And national parks as well, like, take so long to come into effect. Whereas the Great Bear Rainforest, I think because it wasn't a national park, it was a provincial government, and First Nations governments, they were able to kind of like move it a little bit faster.
Yeah, yeah.
Also because there was urgency in the area for sure of protecting the resources. Just increasing responsibility and social license in the area. So I think
Yeah. It was interesting last night. There was a couple people that actually weren't a big fan of this legislation that passed in to protect the Great Barrier Rainforest. They said it was took too long, and in the meantime, you know, other forests were being totally devastated and whatnot. And also, a lot of people stressed their concern about the trophy hunt that's continuing to happen. A very kind of like an interesting points, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear why the Komodo bear is so common in the Great Barrier Rainforest?
Yeah. Okay. Tell me why.
Yeah, I forget who did the research. I'm sorry about that. I'll have to look up the name. But there was research done at UBC in the Faculty of Forestry on why the Komodo bear, or the white phase mutation of the black bear, is so common in the Great Barrier Rainforest. And they did a bunch of experiments and everything. But in the end, they discovered that there's more marine-derived nutrients in, like, they took fur samples, and the fur samples of the white phase mutation than there was in the black phase mutation. And so the hypothesis is that the white phase mutation is able to blend in with the overcast sky when they're fishing for salmon more easily than the black bears are. And so they actually do really well in the overcast rainforest.
Wow, yeah. Rain is good for them, I guess.
Rain is good for them.
Yeah. But anyways, so we're going to take a short break here. Don't have much time left, but we're going to take a short break, and we're going to get Katie Miles into the studio. But anyway, I'm going to play a song by a groovy group called Lady Jams. They just released a new EP, their Lady Jams EP. Very cool, groovy group. So... keep on listening.
They got me like, identify my identity, not true. The words I speak, I close my eyes and pick the pick of what is home to me. Your place of L-O-V-E. Fun friends and family, like we say it usually. It's written by my meal, though ruptured in Kigali. My mixes were spicy, but thought I was from Trini. African American, yo, you Jamaican. Honey, dear, an accent, maybe it's French. But I'm really African. Everybody know what color, yeah. My motherland, it's a record, so I blend it. Call me Coco, Oreo, curry, soya sauce. I'm a blend of those, international girl. Yes, I suppose, cause it's hot with acquaintances. It's hard to define where my home is. But I'm used to my dad going to bed early. My mom cooking with some Aji Maji. My bro playing up that Thierry Henry. Playing with my sisters while I was just three, dog. Cavity. Back in the discovery of what is home to me. I said, oh, what is home to me? What I say? I said, home. I call it home. Yeah. a first song about where I belong. I flew around the world, I transited in the airport. You never heard flying over moat, yes, in the future. Home is really easy, see your web. You follow me, laughing expectantly and comfortably. It might reside in that family nest, only the comfort of my mattress. On Skype, aligned in inside, and that's a yes. A connection wider with the internet. Asking myself if I ever left home. Home is what's really felt. I said home, home is where I belong. Home is you, my friends. Home is in the song. You listen and answer. Home is where I belong. Home is you, my friends. Home is in the song. You listen and answer. Home is you, my friends. Home is in the song. You listen to home.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
In the words of Henry David Thoreau, it's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see. Multicultural Ministries is a national, cross-Canada, non-profit organization that runs temple tours and gives unique perspectives into different religions from around the world, including Buddhism, Sikhism, and Islam. To find out more about them, the tours they offer, or to book one, please visit templetour.weebly.com.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I am joined with Max and Katie here, as well as Anna sitting in the corner. you guys would like to say hello.
Hi.
So yeah, Max and Katie, you've both recently graduated, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
You got it. Nice. Feels good over Freedom. Here.
Yeah.
Loose.
Good luck, everybody.
You guys are looking good with the shades.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure. Sunglasses indoors are always the most hip thing.
Feeling pretty hip.
Yeah. But you guys just recently went on a big road trip, I hear.
You heard right, Austin.
What were some of the highlights on this road trip? And where did you go?
All right.
Well, we're trying to bring the funk revolution back to BC,
and
people are bumping the funk across the continent, so...
Oh, yeah.
Common theme throughout the road trip, perhaps.
A lot of funk music.
Yeah.
Went on down the coast, California, New Mexico, Mexico for a little while, and the funk is good.
And it's everywhere.
Good. Yeah, what would you say is the most funky place, then?
Ooh...
L.A.?
L.A. That's surprising, actually. Yeah.
I know. When Max originally floated the idea of going to L.A., I was kind of, pushing the brakes. Like, I don't want to go to L.A. but it's cool. It's LA funky. Is cool.
There's wow. a venue yeah. devoted to funk music called The Echo. Oh. And they have a funk stage on the main plaza and then a soul lounge in the backyard.
It's like an outdoor and patio?
Probably the coolest place. Coolest nightclub I've ever been to by yeah. far. Yeah.
yeah. Super wow. cool. And everyone's really nice. That, believe it or not.
Wow. Yeah, that's actually surprising for LA. I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't know. I would always just hear people ragging on LA.
I know.
Being, you know, like kind of cutthroat place.
I was one of them.
Yeah.
It's but the funk, now breaking down barriers breaking wherever down. You look.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's the power of funk, I guess, is bringing people together.
Bringing the people together.
In this right. Trying times, I guess.
And I hear, Anna, you went dancing at a funk dance party in Vancouver last night. Can you confirm, perhaps with a head nod? Yes.
We got
and
the
a
head
hand
nod.
Up. Things were good.
Yes.
Things are good.
Funk nights, Thursdays, right? Thursday? Every other Thursday at Backstage Lounge. Have you guys ever been to Backstage?
We'll be funk? There. Haven't been yet.
Haven't been?
No, yeah. no.
I guess we got to compare. You got to compare with the rest of the funk.
That's right.
North America.
It'll yeah. be good.
Did you find funk in Mexico?
Believe we it sure or not,
did.
We sure
oh,
did.
Oh, man. How is the Mexican funk?
Oh, it's epic.
It's pretty groovy. It's pretty spicy.
Big band on stage. And then that was kind of more traditional funk.
Okay.
And then they would get this guy to come up on stage too, and he was like rapping in Spanish. Really fast and like everything was just awesome. It was good.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. There's a guy that played the bongos and the wind chimes.
Oh yeah. Band,
and it was a great touch.
Oh yeah.
Wind chimes and funk? That sounds awesome.
Can we swear on CITR?
I mean, probably not at 9 in the morning, but
all right.
Yeah.
Well, they had a great song. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
We don't want to spice anyone's coffee up this
That's
morning
right.
Spicy.
With a curse. Don't do that.
Wake up gracefully, people. Don't worry about us.
Yeah.
And we just saw Lady Jams, too, last weekend for the EP release.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty funky as well. Mm-hmm. Pretty groovy.
Yeah.
Very groovy. Right. Word to use. You said it about 5 times when you're putting it on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very groovy.
You go to a lot of shows where you kind of like leave it feeling tired and like they've kind of taken something out of you, but we kind of left there feeling they'd given us something.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
like, left that venue and we're like, yeah, like we can take on the world. Cool.
Wow. Yeah, that's actually kind of an interesting point.
Yeah.
I feel most times I go out. I feel like I've been taken. Yeah. Something's been taken out.
Something has been taken from me.
Yeah, but I guess.
But yeah, download their EP.
Yeah.
On SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere on the internet.
Yeah, actually, a pretty funny thing, just something that happened last night. Last night, I won a little bear stuffed animal. From
congratulations.
From answering a question right about how much like protected areas, Canada trying to. 17%. but then this guy on the bus, he was like, yo, I like your bear. And then we just got talking. And then I got off the bus. My bear was gone. I think he snatched my bear.
A bear snatcher.
Oh, yeah.
Alert Vancouver. There's a bear snatcher.
Yeah. Yeah. So hide your bears.
Oh, my gosh.
He's going to be snatching. Yeah.
This is bad news.
Yeah. Keep on high alert.
Austin, can we give a song request? Or do you have a
perhaps.
Bank of songs?
Let's see. I'm going to check on real fast. Yeah. What is your song request?
Anything by Parliament.
Parliament.
Big time.
Okay.
Let me get down on
do you
it.
Have, you have
yeah.
A,
get down on it.
You have like a special story about Parliament?
Yeah. Go for it, Max.
Well, we had a CD player in our car along the road trip, and not many CDs to play, but Parliament Funkadelic happened to be one of them.
Funkadelic.
And, nice. Definitely got some good airtime.
2 months in the car. CDs.
Listening to funk.
Did you ever get tired of funk or no?
Not yet.
No.
No.
It's timeless.
Do you think you will?
highly unlikely.
This is a serious question. Life shattering.
Yeah, sorry for this life reflection early in the morning, but just these are the questions that the people need to know.
Right. That's these right. are the questions. Yeah. The wise man.
So
asks.
you think like flashlight, aqua boogie sounds good?
Flashlight's really good.
Okay. Or give up the funk is also another one that I got.
Here. Let's go flashlight.
Let's go flashlight.
All right. All right, cool. So we're going to play Flashlight, and we'll play you out with Flashlight. But, yeah, thanks for coming on the show, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you to everybody in the studio.
Yeah.
Keep it funky out there.
Yes, keep it funky. Tune in next Friday for more stuff that I will talk about. And stay tuned for Mixtapes with Mick and Mac. They've always got something groovy going. So, yeah.